Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A happy Tuesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. Hope everybody had a great holiday weekend, enjoying their off day yesterday. We are back at it today. A lot of baseball conversation. We got Peter Apple standing by, going to get his thoughts on some baseball futures. We'll also look at today's MLB slate. We got a couple picks on the card for today. Massive game four tonight in Indianapolis between the Knicks and the Pacers. We'll dive into that. Also a big game four in Edmonton between the Stars and the Oilers. Some picks in both of those games as well. And then also we got a big golf tournament this week, the Memorial. They're playing at Jack's Place. Pretty much all the big names on the PGA Tour outside of Rory are teeing it up this week in Dublin, Ohio. So we'll give out some golfers that I like this week out at Muirfield Village. As always, any questions, any comments, best bets that you guys have for us, hit us up at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on X. We'll try and get to your questions throughout the show. Love hearing from you guys as always. And if you miss any part of the show, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling on a Tuesday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Check in with Peter Apple, who joins us. Give Peter a follow on X at PeterApple23, co-founder of Just Baseball. And Peter, let's talk about one of the better stories so far in baseball, and that's the Detroit Tigers, right? We saw what they did last couple months of the season last year. They beat the Astros in the postseason, get to the ALDS, and they have taken all that momentum into this season. Scooble's still a monster. Their pitching staff's been great. But this team has the most wins right now in all of baseball. When you watch the Tigers play, do you think they're good enough to win the World Series as currently constructed? Or do you feel like this team needs to make some serious moves at the deadline for you to get invested in them to win it all?
Winning it all is tough because there are so many good teams in the National League. And if they were to win the American League, they would clearly be big underdogs to a lot of these teams in the National League. But when I look at the current Tigers, I don't think that they have to make any major additions in order to make the World Series. Because why were the Tigers good in the playoffs last year, right? It was a lot of pitching chaos. It was Tarek Skubal, and then they had some magic, even though they didn't really have much of a second starter, third starter, or fourth starter. And they really only had two big-time offensive weapons in Riley Green and then in Kerry Carpenter. But this year, Spencer Torkelson has stepped up in order to be that third key cog in their lineup. Javier Baez has also been playing a little bit better, but Zach McKinstry, they have a couple of other young hitters like Colt Keith coming up the pipeline. So the offense is better than it was last year. And the starting pitching, it's not necessarily pitching chaos anymore. They can go three deep in that rotation at least, with the potential, of course, of Jackson Jobe continuing to make these improvements as a young rookie starter. Casey Mize has really taken the mantle as the number two. I know Reese Olson is hurt right now, but he's really solid, and when he returns, he's going to continue to improve as well. So the Tigers' issues last year in the postseason that weren't able to help them elevate to the World Series was they didn't really have much behind Skubal, and their offense packed another punch. They have all of that this year, so they have the recipe in order to get to the World Series. So if I'm betting on the Tigers, I'm more looking at American League pennant rather than World Series. Of course, you're going to get a better price on the World Series, but I think the best way to play the Tigers is to shoot for that American League pennant. And while, you know, the value isn't quite there because, of course, they lead the American League in wins, they lead the American League in wins for a reason. And not everyone is fully bought in yet, so I think there's still a smidge of value you can go get.
Plus 375 right now on BetMGM if you want to bet the Tigers to win the American League. Peter, you're rocking the Seattle Mariners hat today. I want to talk about them in the AL West, right? Because for the last couple of years, it's been these three teams. It's been the Mariners, the Astros, and the Rangers. Here we are. We find ourselves as we're approaching June. Seattle on top of the division. Do you finally think that this is the year where the Mariners get over the hump and they win the AL West? Or do you still think there's value on Houston and Texas, who are going to get some guys back in their lineup and get healthy here soon?
Funny enough, in the middle part of April, I bet on the Mariners at 3-1 to win the division. So I definitely obviously see value, and now I am fully invested in the Seattle Mariners. It's not just the hat that I got at the All-Star game a few years ago. The reason I bet on the Seattle Mariners is this isn't the Seattle Mariners of old. And what do I mean by that? Pitching centric, right? We see the Kansas City Royals right now kind of struggling, even though they're top five in rotation ERA, top 10 in bullpen ERA. Why? You need a good offense. And that's what kind of always capped the Mariners. We all remember how good their pitching staff is, how good their bullpen is, but it was just basically the Julio Rodriguez show and a team waiting for Cal Raleigh to hit a home run. Not this year. The Mariners' offense has scored more runs than any team in their division. It does seem also like a more cohesive offense, right? You got Jorge Polanco, you got Randy Rosarena hitting much better. And, you know, what's to stop them from making small moves at the deadline? I don't expect them to add major pieces, but what I do like is how much better the offense has been. And then they still have this rotation, and they're still atop the American League West, even though there is no Logan Gilbert right now. There is no Bryce Miller right now, but there will be. George Kirby just returned back from the IL, and the bullpen with Andres Munoz, Matt Brash returning healthy, looks better than ever. So they still have that elite pitching, although all of it is not there right now, and the offense is finally here. And that's why I felt, let's invest in the Mariners this season, as I still think that the Rangers are, quite honestly, the most overrated team in Major League Baseball. And the Astros, I'm not exactly sure what they're going to do at the deadline. Already gave up Kyle Tucker, let Alex Bregman walk. I don't necessarily think they're going to be big-time buyers, per se, this trade deadline season. So that just kind of takes me over to Seattle as the best team in this division. And I model them out right now at about a 56% chance to win it. And you can still get even money. There's still a little bit left more on that bone, even though they are the favorites.
Yeah, trying to win the division for the first time in 25 years. We're talking with Peter Apple here on Send It In. Give Peter a follow on X at PeterApple23. Peter, over to the NL East now, which much like the AL West, looks like it's going to be a three-horse race between the Phillies, the Mets, and the Braves. Break down this division for me right now. Philadelphia, right as it stands, is the team to beat. Do you like the Phillies, or would you look at New York or Atlanta in that division?
It's so funny. So I was just applauding myself for the Mariners bet, right? Getting a lot of line movement on that one. I took the Braves at the beginning of the season to win this division, and that hasn't exactly worked out for me. Now, them getting back Acuna, Strider pitches today. You could see them building momentum right after they started 0-7. They have been one of the better teams in Major League Baseball. So if I were to invest in this division between the Mets and the Braves, I would still go with the Braves because, again, I think there is still more value there than there would be attaching yourself to the New York Mets with a rotation that has been awesome to start. But there still are questions with a lot of them. Can they complete the full season? Right? I wasn't worried about them to start, but how will they look at the end? Right? That's kind of my issue here with the New York Mets, even though I think they're a great team and they're going to make the playoffs. But I think the answer is Philly. I mean, what's Philly's only weakness? It's their bullpen. What's the easiest position to address at the deadline? Bullpen. What does Dave Dombrowski, the Phillies GM, do every single deadline? Add elite bullpen arms, and they have a great system to do it. And they also have Mick Abel and Andrew Painter, who, if they don't have a spot in their rotation, because the rotation is so good, they could potentially put those two young elite rookie arms in that bullpen to elongate it a little bit. So I think Philly is the team to beat. But if you were betting on a team to win this division, I'm still going to hold strong on my preseason prediction that the Braves have a pretty good shot of upsetting both of them.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. I want to get into some player markets with you, and I want to start with NL MVP real quick. We were just talking about the NL East. Ronald Acuña is back, as you mentioned. The guy hit a home run in each of his first two games. He's 80-1. Peter, would you take a flyer on Acuña at that price, or do you just think that, you know, it's just him being back healthy is a win, but he's got no chance of winning the award?
I have a hard time believing he has a chance to win the award, because think about it like this, right? It's May 27th. He's been back here for a few games. Is he going to hit 30 home runs and steal 30 bases the rest of the way? That would put him on pace for normally a 40-40 type season. But does 30-30 win it when Corbin Carroll's going to do that? When Kyle Tucker's probably going to do that? And Shohei Ohtani is probably going to blow that all out of the water, and he's already stepping foot back on the mound, and he was getting tracked his velocity, at least on his four-seam fastball, 95 to 96 miles an hour. So I think the way Acuña wins this award, you know, I'm not really sure how, but it would be that he and the Braves go on this insane streak, and it's all because of him, and he vaults them up. But if the Braves go on an insane streak, that means other guys are coming to play as well. So with Acuña, I love the idea of it at 80-1, right? It sounds great because he truly is one of the best players in our game, but it's just hard for me to look away from Ohtani right now. I know it's boring. I know it's chalk, but if he has the best offensive numbers and then he pitches also, it's going to be a wrap again. So it's hard for me to get away from Ohtani.
One of the big talking points right now, Peter, in baseball, especially in betting and in futures, is AL Rookie of the Year and what to do with Jack Caglione right now with the Royals. He's currently 30-1. We see the videos every day of him hitting a home run in the minors, and yet the Royals haven't called him up. So when you look at this market, Jacob Wilson's been terrific for the A's so far this season. Are you still waiting with Cags? Do you think 30-1 is a good price? Do you think we could get something even bigger? How would you look at AL Rookie of the Year and him specifically?
Well, here's the thing with Jack Caglione. He should be called up yesterday, right? The Royals need a corner outfielder, and they need some power into this lineup. But I think there's a reason that the Royals don't really want to bring Jack Caglione up yet. You know, it has to do with service time. You know, if he wins the Rookie of the Year, they might lose a draft pick. All this stuff that, you know, has to do with the business of baseball, which is why we see some of the best prospects continue to be held down, right? Roman Anthony hasn't been called up yet, even though he is the best overall prospect in baseball, and the Red Sox could certainly use a boost. So when I look at Jack Caglione's market, I see a guy who is only striking out at 14% rate in AAA so far. He's hitting over 330. He's already got five home runs. Seems like he hits one 450 feet every single time I go on social media. I would love to invest in him. I think he's a fantastic player. I don't think he's going to get called up soon enough in order to win the award, and especially take it away from a guy like Jacob Wilson, who's already racked up 2.5 WAR, right? That is 0.7 more than any other rookie in Major League Baseball. He's hitting 350. So it's just hard for Cags to make up that type of ground, especially with a pitcher. You know, Luis Gil just won it last year for the Yankees. Will Warren could do it this year. His strikeout stuff has ticked up majorly. He's got a spot in this rotation, as well as Jason Dominguez, who's playing good baseball as well. So those three guys I would ID over Cags, even though I love the allure of what he could do when he gets called up. Just worried about when he gets called up. That would be the problem.
Yeah, Wilson minus 200 right now, BetMGM, and the two Yankees that you spoke of, Dominguez plus 500, Will Warren at 14-1. Always great talking baseball with Peter Apple. Make sure you guys are following him on X at PeterApple23. Co-founder of Just Baseball joins us here on Send It In. Peter, always appreciate the insight, man. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for having me, PJ. I appreciate it, my man.
You're welcome, dude. Always a great time. Let's continue talking baseball, guys, here on Send It In. We got a full slate today on this Tuesday, including the Dodgers and the Guardians out in Cleveland. Total is 9. Dustin May on the mound today for the Dodgers, going up against Tanner Beebe for Cleveland. And Beebe, again, is another one of those guys. Drastic home and road splits. On the road this season, he's got a 5.13 ERA. At home this season, he's got a 1.46 ERA. Dodgers took care of business yesterday. We know Cleveland's always been a good home team, and Beebe's one of those guys, pitches very well at home. I'd look at Cleveland today, plus 105 as home underdogs. Cardinals and Orioles, how about the O's? They've won three in a row. One yesterday with Charlie Morton on the mound. That doesn't happen very often. And they actually have their best starting pitcher on the mound today in Sagano, going up against Andre Pallante. Cardinals are a minus 118 favorite. The total is 9. And I would look at the under. I think the O's bats only score about 2 or 3 runs today. And again, Sagano has been very good for the Orioles with the 3.08 ERA. So I'll go under 9 in O's and Cardinals. Giants and Tigers today in Detroit. Great pitching matchup with Logan Webb going up against Jack Flaherty. Tigers have the most wins in baseball. They're at home. Flaherty's been very good for them. Is on the mound, yet they're underdogs today, and it makes sense with Logan Webb on the mound. But again, Tigers is home dogs. I'll take a piece of that. Give me Detroit, plus 105. Braves and Phillies today in Philadelphia. Spencer Strider against Ranger Suarez. Strider's making his third start of the season, and I still feel like we're pricing Atlanta based on Spencer Strider, NL Cy Young Spencer Strider. Now, not to that extent. If we were, they would certainly be favorites today, but we're still giving him the benefit of the doubt, and even though he's still terrific, he's still working his way back. I think there's value on the Phillies today. Suarez has been good this season, so give me Philadelphia, minus 115. Twins and Rays today in Tampa. We got Joe Ryan against Taj Bradley. Ryan's been awesome so far this season for Minnesota, and get this, you guys, we talk home-road splits all the time. With Joe Ryan, it's day games and night games with his split. Joe Ryan's this year, when he pitches in day games, he's got an ERA over 4. When he pitches in night games, he's got an ERA sub 1, 0.90. It's a night game tonight in Tampa, which means Joe Ryan should be pitching really well. We'll go under 8.5, and we'll take the Twins on the money line at minus 125. White Sox and Mets today in Citi Field. No play for me in that one. Mets a big minus 275 favorite. Red Sox and Brewers in Milwaukee. Aaron Civale on the mound for the Brewers. I kind of think the Red Sox are going to go on a little bit of a slide here. The Bregman injury is a big deal. He's been one of the better hitters, everyday players in their lineup. And already missing him, they've lost their last couple. I think Milwaukee gets him again today, so I'll take the Brewers minus 120. Interesting game today in Kansas City between the Royals and the Reds. You have Daniel Lynch going for the Royals, and you have Brady Singer going for the Reds. Daniel Lynch this season, 0.79 ERA at home. He's been terrific, but they're only a minus 115 favorite going up against Brady Singer. So I kind of think the Reds are the play today on the road. Rockies and Cubs and Wrigley. How about the Cubs are a minus 325 favorite? I'm going to pass on that game. Blue Jays and Rangers in Texas. Great pitching matchup yesterday with DeGrom and Gausman. Blue Jays win that one. Today we have Bowden Francis going up against Nathan Eovaldi. I don't think the Blue Jays get two in a row off two of the better pitchers for the Rangers, so I'll take Eovaldi and Texas minus 140. Athletics and Astros tonight in Houston. Another good pitching matchup. J.P. Sears against Hunter Brown. For me, this play is all about the price. Astros are minus 235 on the money line, which makes sense because Hunter Brown's been terrific and they're at home. But getting the A's at +1.5, minus 110, I think is too good to pass up. So I'll take A's minus 110, plus 1.5 on the run line tonight. Yankees and Angels in Anaheim. I think the Angels could be worth a look tonight on the money line. Carlos Rodon going up against Tyler Anderson. We see this with the Yankees all the time. When they go up against awful teams, they tend to win 2 out of 3. Saw it against the Rockies. We saw it last year when they played the White Sox on the road. And Anderson's obviously the best pitcher for the Angels. So with the Yankees winning yesterday, I think there's a chance this could be the game that they lose. I'll look at the Angels plus 170. Marlins and Padres tonight in San Diego. Going to pass on that one. Pirates and D-backs in Arizona. Corbin Burns on the bump for the Snakes. I'll take them on the run line, minus 125. And then Nationals and Mariners tonight in Seattle. A total of 8.5 with Logan Evans and Mitchell Parker. Now, certainly two not-so-great pitchers. And with the Nats lineup in Seattle, even they've been much improved. I would look at the over, 8.5 in that game between the Nats and the Mariners. All right, let's talk a little playoff, Peach. Some NBA and NHL playoffs here on Send It In. We will start with the Knicks and the Pacers. Massive game 4 tonight for both of these teams. The road game, the road team so far has won every game in this series, and the Pacers lead 2-1. Pacers are a 2.5-point favorite tonight, and the total in the game is 220.5 after we saw a low-scoring game in Game 3, 106-100. I like the Pacers tonight, plain and simple. So far in the postseason, Indiana is 0-3 in game threes, right? They lost to Cleveland in game three. They lost to Milwaukee in game three. And then they lost to the Knicks in game three. What did they do against Cleveland and Milwaukee? They bounced back and won both game fours. So this is familiar territory for Indiana. Drop game three, bounce back in game four. Also, I think if you're a Pacers fan, you have to feel pretty good about the fact that you still had a really good shot at winning that game, and you only shot 20% from the three-point range. They were 5-for-25 from deep. Would expect Indiana to shoot the ball much, much better. Got to give the Knicks a ton of credit for that comeback and how great their defense was in the fourth quarter, but I don't think there's any room for Indiana to panic. I think they'll bounce back tonight. To me, they clearly look like the better team. This was never going to be a sweep, right? And the Knicks have been a terrific team on the road so far this postseason. Knicks got their game on Sunday, and I think the Pacers bounce back today and they win game four. I would look at them -2.5. As for some props that I like in this game tonight, we keep betting TJ McConnell over points and it keeps cashing for us. They keep making these props too low. He scored double digits in all three games in this series. It's at 8.5. So it's starting to get a little dicey. It's funny to watch how this thing has gone from 5.5 to 6.5 to 7.5, and now it's up to 8.5. But I think anything under 10, still worth the bet for TJ McConnell. He only plays about 15 minutes a game, but when he comes off the bench, he's the Energizer Bunny. He's going 100 miles per hour. He's looking to push the pace. He's looking for offense, and he's looking to attack Brunson and get him in foul trouble, and that certainly was a big part of Game 3, was the fact that Brunson was in foul trouble. So look at TJ McConnell once again over 8.5 points, and then a couple of players that I would look at over 1.5 three-pointers, Cat and Miles Turner. Karl Anthony Towns has made two or more three-pointers in all three games so far in this series. He shot the three-pointer very well. Even though you got to lay some juice at -155, I still think it's worth it. I think Cat knocks down at least two threes tonight. And then Miles Turner, over 1.5 three-pointers at -135. He was 1-for-6 from three-point range in Game 3. But the reason I like this prop is because the adjustments that the Knicks made in Game 3, starting Mitchell Robinson and playing him more minutes. By playing Mitchell Robinson more minutes, we all know what a great defender and rebounder he is. Well, when Miles Turner's on the floor, he's looking to shoot the three. He's trying to stretch out Turner to get him out of the paint. So I would look at Miles Turner over 1.5 threes at -135. Karl Anthony Towns is -155. And then as for the series winner, Pacers are still -210. Knicks are +170. Wouldn't look at anything there. How I think this series is going to play out, I think the Pacers are going to win tonight. I think the Knicks are going to win Game 5 and Game 6 back in Indiana. And then I think the Pacers are going to win Game 7. I still like the Pacers in 7. So that's how I think it's going to play out. But I like Indiana tonight, -2.5. I also like the Stars tonight on the money line, +140 against the Oilers. This series is 2-1. It very easily could be 3-0 if the Stars didn't have that big comeback in Game 1 in the third period where they outscored Edmonton 5-0. These two teams are so evenly matched, though. It feels like it's going to be 2-2 heading back to Dallas for Game 5. So I love betting good teams like Dallas off of bad performances like they had, right, where they got smoked. We saw Carolina against Florida get smoked in their series or in Game 3. They bounced back in Game 4. I would expect the same thing from Dallas after getting smoked in Game 3. They bounce back tonight in Game 4. Maybe betting overtime isn't such a bad bet either. Could see this game being decided by one goal and potentially going to OT. Shawnee Sharp's telling me he got some breaking news as well. Per Shams, LeBron likely to opt in to his $52.5 million player option with the Lakers. So there you go. LeBron looking like he's going to team up with Luka once again next season for the Lakers. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. It's an NBA playoff odds boost token. Make a fast break for the action with an NBA playoff odds boost token. Use your token to get a bigger payout on a winning playoff bet. All right, let's do a little teed up Tuesday. We got the Memorial Tournament in Dublin, Ohio this week. It's Jack's Place. It's not a major, but it feels like it because of the field that we get every year at this golf course. And this is one of the toughest courses that they play every single year on the PGA Tour. Last year, it was the second hardest course that they played. It's a par 72, 7,569 yards. And folks, the name of the game this week is accuracy. There was not a harder course this past year on the PGA Tour last season in terms of hitting the green when you miss the fairway than Muirfield Village. So you got to put the ball in the fairway this week. Last year, only 22% of golfers hit the green when they missed the fairway and the ball was in the rough. The rough is nasty, and it's really difficult to hit the green if you do not put the ball in the fairway. So certainly putting a priority on that this week. As I see, we got a golf comment from our guy, B. Mills. Hey, PJ, got two golfers this week I might target based off of what you think. Shane Lowry and Siwoo Kim. And then sports wager, PJ, thoughts on Bhatia top 20 at plus 200 and Victor Hovland at top 20 at plus 110. So I'll start with the questions here. Absolutely love it, guys. B-Mills, we'll start with Lowry and Siwoo. Siwoo's got great course history here, and we saw him play well at the PGA Championship, right? So you know I'm a guy that always believes in course history, current form. Both of those things are matching up with Siwoo. Don't know if I would bet him to win this week, but certainly look at him like top 20. Think that would be a great bet. Shane Lowry, another guy, absolutely. He's played great so far this season, a lot of these elevated events, right? Out in Pebble Beach, played well at Arnold Palmer's tournament, played well at the Masters. So he's played well in some of these big events. Got some okay course history here, but Shane, again, another great ball striker. And if he puts the ball in the fairway, could be a factor this week. So I like that. Sports wager, I do like Victor Hovland this week. I think he'd be a good look, especially at the plus money at top 20. And then Akshay is a tough one. I personally would stay away from him this week. I think it depends on the numbers that you get. There are some other guys down the board that I like better, but you are getting a good price on Akshay. I think I saw he was like 80-1, 90-1 at BetMGM. Like, that's not an awful price. I wish his top 20 number was a little higher, though, maybe like plus 250 or somewhere in that neighborhood. Some guys that I do like this week at the Memorial, we're going to start with Xander Schauffele, who's 16-1. Xander just epitomizes what this golf course is all about. To me, this is going to be a good test for the U.S. Open, what we're going to see with Oakmont, especially if this course is playing firm and fast. Scoring is not going to be easy. And again, much like the U.S. Open, if you miss the fairway, it's going to be really difficult to make par. Xander's track record at this course at U.S. Opens, he's just the perfect kind of guy that you want at these tough courses because he's such a good grinder throughout the rounds. He makes the tough pars, and his scoring is just so consistent. He's normally really good at avoiding the big numbers, and that's what you want this week. Guys are going to make bogeys. It's who's going to avoid the doubles, the triples, those big numbers that give themselves a chance to contend. Five of the last six times Xander has played this event, he has finished inside the top 20. So I think he's going to be in contention again. I would look at him top 20, top 10, and 16-1 for him to win as well. Also like Corey Conners this week at 28-1. I told you guys, I want golfers that are accurate off the tee. Corey Conners, not only is he accurate off the tee, he's accurate with his iron play as well. Corey's played some great golf this season, and if his putter cooperates this week and his ball striking is normally what it is, Corey Conners should be in contention. Aaron Rye, do you guys know right now on the PGA Tour who is number one in terms of driving accuracy off the tee, the guy who hits the highest percentage of fairways? That would be Aaron Rye. If that's the stat that I'm looking at the most this week because of how tough it is to win when you're in the rough, I got to take a piece of Aaron Rye, who's also playing some good golf this season. So give me Aaron Rye at 50-1. Denny McCarthy at 50-1 is another guy that I'm looking at. Two of the last 3 years, Denny has finished inside the top five at this course. And Denny, I remember him doing like a post-round interview when he was on the coast with like Amanda Renner, whoever it was, with CBS, and he was talking about how much he loves this course, but also the challenge of like U.S. Open-style golf courses. The harder the course, the more Denny enjoys playing it, so he loves this place, and his track record has certainly shown that, so I would look at Denny at 50-1, and then how about J.J. Spahn at 55-1? Cashed our top 20, top 10s for us last week at Colonial. J.J.'s having an awesome year. He continues to really strike the ball extremely well, so J.J. Spahn could have another great week ball striking because you better be a good ball striker this week. You better put it in the fairway and on the green. J.J., it's a good price for him, 55-1. So those are some guys that I would look at this week at the Memorial. All right, let's wrap up the show, you guys. PJ's plays here on Send It In, some of our favorite bets of the day. And we will start with Jose Altuve as our guy in going streaking today. He's going up against J.P. Sears. He's 6-for-19. In his career against J.P. Sears, .316 batting average. So give me Altuve today against J.P. Sears. My prop lock is going to be T.J. McConnell. As long as it's under 10, I'm going to keep betting the over on T.J. McConnell. So we'll go over 8.5 points for him tonight against the Knicks. Dog of the day, give me the Dallas Stars +140 against the Oilers. I just think this series is going to be 2-2 heading back to Dallas. The Oilers certainly have looked like the better team, but the Stars have been super resilient so far this postseason. They have not dropped consecutive games in a row the entire playoffs. They've been a resilient team. They've been great at responding off of a loss, and I would expect the same thing from them tonight. So give me Dallas +140. And then my best bet is going to be the Indiana Pacers -2.5 against the New York Knicks. I just like the Pacers to bounce back, right? I think all of us were rooting for a long series. So because the Knicks made that comeback, we're trying to find ways, things that they did different, maybe that we can hang on to. Maybe the Knicks found certain ways that they can beat the Pacers. I just think they played a better half and especially a better quarter of basketball. But the bottom line is Indiana shot a really bad percentage. They shot 20% from three-point range. So unless they do that again with them being at home, I think it's going to be tough for the Knicks to win this game tonight for them to cover the spread. So I'll take Indiana -2.5 against the Knicks. Once again, best bets of the day. Altuve is our plane going streaking. McConnell over 8.5 points is going to be our prop lock. Dallas Stars, dog of the day, +140 against the Oilers, and then the Pacers, -2.5, going to be our best bet against the Knicks. Thanks again to Peter Apple for joining us today on the show. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Thanks for all the questions in golf. We'll do it again tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.